It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, January 20th, 2020, and we have 15 vessels on our Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've had kind of a lull in the weather, but it looks like we're going to get some more this week. We have a gale watch in effect from this evening through Tuesday afternoon, so the weather was on kind of a small craft advisory earlier in the weekend, and now it's rolling into gale watch. So it looks like we have another storm coming our way. Today, expect south winds 10 to 15 knots with gusts to 20. Wind waves from the south, 4 feet high at about 5 seconds apart, and west swells 12 feet high at 14 seconds apart. But seas are projected to reach 18 feet by Tuesday. And if that happens, well, we could be looking at potential slowdowns in ship traffic entering and leaving the river as the weather intensifies. You can keep tabs, by the way, on the severity of conditions at the mouth of the river by checking the marine weather forecast for the Columbia River Bar and by looking at the Bar Pilots website, which is at ColumbiaRiverBarPilots.com. Their site has a lot of great info and photos on it. But on the homepage, there's always a field there on the page which has the bar status, and it can be green, yellow, or red. And like traffic lights, those colors mean green, proceed normally, yellow, use caution, and red, stop. If the bar is on yellow status, the bar pilots determine which ships will wait and which will pass, and of course, with red status as well. And they, along with the U.S. Coast Guard, are the gatekeepers for vessel traffic coming in and out of the river. Let's take a look at who's coming and going today. We have 7 inbounders, we have 2 in our Astoria anchorage, and we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Pan Topaz, arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there by about 4:30 p.m. The Ikan Padan is arriving from Indonesia, headed for Vancouver. Her cargo could be finished steel, and she will pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m., arrive in Vancouver by 9:30 p.m. The Misago Arrow is arriving from Japan, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She's eventually going to be going to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. Look for her in Vancouver by about 12:30 a.m. on Tuesday. The New Boundary arrives from South Korea, headed for Longview's anchorage. She's picking up wheat. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview by about 11 p.m. The Ince Point is arriving from Japan, headed for Portland. She's bringing in, I believe, either bringing in or picking up a cargo of cement, which is a dry powder form at that point. Passing Astoria about 8:30 p.m., arriving in Portland at about 2:30 p.m. The FPMC 32 is arriving from South Korea, headed for Kalama. She's a tanker, passing Astoria around 8:30 p.m. She could arrive in Kalama by about 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And the Interlink Sagacity is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for the Rainier Anchorage on the south side of the river at Longview. And she'll be picking up wheat, I think, at the port of Longview. She's going to anchor across the river from the port there for a bit. Passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m., she'll anchor in Rainier at about 3 a.m. on Tuesday. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Xing Li Hai headed for Kalama. Corn, soy, or wheat will be her possible cargoes to pick up there, leaving around 10 a.m. and arriving in Kalama by about 3 p.m. And the Star Virginia is awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage. In our outbounders, we have the African Rook leaving Portland carrying potash at about 3 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. The Global Heart is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 6 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 a.m. Well, today I'd like to answer a listener question that I received from several people around the area this past week. It's about a ship called the Nave Polaris, a tanker which had been anchored last week on the west end of the Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront. The ship started out being anchored like any other ship that we see offshore in Astoria or at any of the other anchorages on the river. And then a tugboat appeared, attached to the ship with a line. Both vessels stayed like that for days, and that's when I started to get questions. What was going on out there with that ship? Had she run aground? Was the tug helping her to get out of shallow water? Well, here's the story on that, and it opens up a door for us into what is happening on ships all the time out there in the anchorage. They may look very quiet and stationary, but there is a lot going on there where officers and crew are checking things out and making sure that everything is functioning properly, In this case, the Nave Polaris had a mechanical problem. One of her steering pumps was not working properly, and that meant that the hydraulic system the ship uses to sort of, I guess you might say, to simplify it, adds power steering to her ability to steer, was malfunctioning. This, as you can imagine, was not a good thing. A ship that's impaired in her ability to steer is unsafe anywhere, but especially in a confined waterway like the Columbia River with a relatively narrow channel. And even with our channel dredging, the Columbia River can be a tight fit for ships. Depending on how high or low the tide is and how deeply loaded vessels are, they can be just a few feet. There can be just a few feet of water underneath the keel. That's the very, very bottom of the ship as they travel upriver from Astoria. I've heard river pilots refer to that as kind of shoehorning a ship up or down the river. And so a ship without proper steering capability in that kind of environment can be very dangerous. So here we had a ship with its steering ability at least somewhat impaired, and because of this, it's required to have a tug on hand to assist. So that tug was required to be there. And in this case, that tug was called the P.J. Brix, and you can see Brix tugs anchored in Cathlamet at the dock there in town. And they're one of the companies that work on the river here, so Brix tugs are pretty normal to see them around. So the P.J. Brix had a line on the stern of the ship to help them maneuver if needed. And one possible need for maneuvering while in an anchorage would be if the ship, for instance, dragged at anchor and got too close to shallow water, for instance, or too close to another ship. So a tug is required to be standing by in a case like this if the ship can't maneuver normally. Now, actually, what I've seen in cases of other ships losing steering over the years, this ship was quite fortunate to discover and deal with her steering problems while she was anchored. Ships often learn something is broken like this when it breaks while the ship is underway, and this can result in groundings and other accidents when a ship suddenly cannot steer. So the Nave Polaris is a tanker that came into the river to load ethanol at Port Westward in Clatskanie, and she is there now. So she got there either under her own power, having repaired her steering pump, or with the help of tugboats to assist her with steering, because apparently part of her steering apparatus did work. And since she is at the berth where she was headed to load cargo, we might assume that everything's okay there, or at least that the Coast Guard would not allow her to load cargo unless it was okay. Or she could be at Port Westward to have further repairs done. So we'll see in the next week or so whether she's repaired when she heads downriver and out to sea. So you sometimes do see ships in our anchorage here off Astoria on the river that have mechanical problems and are fortunate to be able to rest in a safe place while they order parts or do repairs themselves. And then they move on to their next destination. Now, they have a very capable engineering department, and sometimes they actually, I was on one ship a number of years ago that had a machine shop, and they could actually manufacture parts. So people, crew members, can be very resourceful in the engineering department. And so sometimes they can do repairs themselves once they realize they're needed. Sometimes they need to order parts and wait for them. And sometimes you'll see ships out in the anchorage there that are having mechanical problems and are waiting for the help that they need. At least the Nave Polaris's crew got a little bit of a rest from all the awful weather we've been having on land and out in the ocean recently. So they may have, maybe, I don't know, you'd never look forward to difficulties, but it may have given them a little bit of a needed break during a very rough time of year for sailors who are out in the ocean. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.